If you believe God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Jesus says, I've prayed for you, and when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. It's an interesting word. This word literally means turned around. It means that once something happens that I'm going to cause to happen, you will turn around from the path you've chosen and strengthen your brother. What does that mean? It means teach them the lesson you've learned. Now one digs into the nuance of the scripture to ask three primary questions. Number one, what did Peter need to be converted from? Peter needed to be converted from spiritual rambunctiousness, pride. It was pride that drove Peter down there to see what would happen to Jesus. He was not following Jesus to help Jesus because Jesus said, go home. When will you realize he doesn't need our help? We need his help. So now don't you know Peter is telling people we ought to do what God says to do? Is that not his verse over in the book of Acts when they tell him don't preach Jesus? He says we ought to please God rather than man. He would never have learned that had he not fallen. The second truth that we learn is that even though you think you're doing the right thing, you must do what the Lord tells you to do. For there is a way that seems right. And see, here's what happens. We will endorse things simply because they seem right. I've had people leave this church and say, well, God called me to go out and start a work. And they've gone out to start it. And it fizzled out. And I'm still in contact with them. I drive and talk with them and pray with them. And their pride keeps them from saying, I need to be back home. Like Peter, they've heard the rooster crow. But the pride won't let them come back. The third thing we learn out of this passage is that the Lord will come after you. Even when you are not following him. Now, I must be very careful in my explanation of this because there are some people who have come in that are not of God. And they listen to a passage and say, Bishop Lambert said, I can live any kind of way and God will come after me. Well, let me help you. God will come after you one way or another. I remember playing half ball. We were playing it was touch football on Van Pelt Street. And I had run, and I twisted my ankle on the curb trying to run and evade one of the people who were trying to do the two-hand touch. And when I twisted my ankle, I slipped off the curb and twisted my ankle. And somebody ran home and told my mother. And she came down the street, and she helped me. You know, she brought an ace bandage with her. And she wrapped it around and helped me get home. She came after me to help me. But then one day I got suspended from school and I was in the playground at Pratt Arnold and she came after me and had an ironing cord in her hand. God will come after you one way or another. He'll come after you to heal you or he'll come after you to kick your behind. And she never ever lost her position. She came one way or another. But here in Peter's defense, he was in the wrong place. You see, our faith is often tried when we're in the wrong place with the wrong people. In the Bible, when it gives this narrative, it says he was warming himself by the wrong fire. The fires were made of charcoal in Jesus' day. And so Peter was standing by that charcoal fire. He was smelling the charcoal. It is a very intoxicating smell. The smell of the charcoal was rich. It was coming around his nose. All charcoal is oak wood that has been pre-burned. And so he's now smelling it. He's smelling it. And because our olfactory senses, our sense of smell, is amongst the highest memory joggers we have in our bodies, he denies the Lord at the charcoal fire. He is forever doomed. Every time he goes to a family picnic in Fairmount Park and they put the grill out, he's going to smell the charcoal and remember, I denied Jesus. What torment awaits him? I deny Jesus. Every hamburger, every hot dog, every rib, every ear of corn on the charcoal fire, he smells it. I deny Jesus. He is doomed to smell charcoal and equate it with denying Jesus. But Jesus is a good Savior. When he rises from the dead, he goes down to the shore. He sees two men out fishing. He says, children, have you any meat? They say, no, fish ain't biting. He said, then cast your net on the right side. You're on the wrong side. Get off the bad foot. Get on the good foot. Put it on the right side, and ye shall find. And they throw the nets in, and they pull in an abundance of fish. All of a sudden, Peter is slapped in his reasoning. His long-term memory just is jostled from an event of 3 years ago. He says, I remember this from the fifth chapter of Luke. He didn't say fifth chapter of Luke. From the fifth chapter of Luke, I remember someone once told me to launch out into the deep and let down my nets for a great catch. He looks. He says, that ain't no beachcomber. That's Jesus. And he throws himself in the water and he swims to shore. And Jesus has fish cooking. He's probably got porgies. Because Jesus is a brother. You don't get skin like bronze if you're a Japhethite. Maybe he has silver trout. One thing he don't have is catfish. And how is he preparing the fish on a charcoal fire? Peter steps out of the water and walks over to Jesus, and Jesus sits him down. By now, the other disciples have gathered. And they're all sitting around the fire, and they're all smelling charcoal. And when the charcoal begins to permeate the air, Jesus says, Peter, do you love me more than these? He's not talking about the rest of the people. He would never compare your love to a person. But he's talking about his fish's equipment. He's saying, do you love me enough not to go back to what you're comfortable with? Do you love me enough to ignore those things that are pulling at you? Do you love me more than these? More than these. Peter says, Lord, I love you. When you look at it in the Greek, Jesus says, do you agape me? Peter says, Lord, I phileo thee. I'm fond of you. He says, Peter, do you love me more than these? He says, Lord, I phileo you. I'm fond of you. He said, well, then shepherd my sheep. Jesus was giving him the first call from the secular job into full-time ministry. Do you love me more than your career? Feed, shepherd, care for my sheep. Peter is deeply frustrated because Jesus keeps asking him if he agapeos him, and Peter keeps responding, I phileo thee. He looks at him the third time and says, do you phileo me? Are you fond of me? And Peter becomes painfully disturbed, and he humbles himself and says, Lord, you know I'm fond of you. You know all things. Jesus said, that's what I've been waiting for. Because if you remember, Peter, you told me I didn't know what I knew when I told you I was going to die. You said, be it far from me. You told me I didn't know what I knew when I called you on the water and you sank. You told me I didn't know what I knew when I told you that Satan desires to have you. Now you know I know everything. But let me tell you something, Peter. Don't get happy. Because the time is coming when somebody's going to take you and lead you where you don't want to go. You see, my brothers and sisters, your faith is going to be tried. Your faith will be tried beyond your ability to control or manage. And you will find yourself trusting in God and believing for the first time in your existence that He truly is in control of your life. You see, as long as we control our lives, God can't do it. But when we step back and say, God, you got this. I am fresh out of options. It is in your hands. I do not stand before you to suggest He's going to make it physically better immediately. But I will suggest that His faith will grow in you. Because Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. Your faith will be tried. It is being tried right now. In many of your lives, your faith is being tried. I'm not talking economically. Come on, God's been providing for you all along. But the devil is not challenging your money. He's challenging your relationship. He cares about how you see God. And if you ever see Him as a sovereign who doesn't care, then you will miss what God has for you. The rooster crowed when Peter said the third time, I don't know Him. The rooster crowed when Peter said the third time. What made this so spectacular is that it was still night when the rooster crowed. Roosters don't crow until the sun comes up. If you remember, they kept Jesus all night to question Him. And the next day, they beat Him mercilessly to crucify Him. There was a torch burning, so it was night. And the rooster crowed. Why would God let the rooster crow in your life? It's for spiritual awakening. It reminds you of two things. One, God is in control of your circumstances. And here's the biggest one. Two, that you are not in control. You see, I don't think God has a problem convincing you that He's in control. I think He has a problem convincing us that we're not. You would think that one would cancel out the other. You know, it's like doing polynomials. You just cancel out, you know, the like factors and go ahead and factor the problem. But it doesn't work that way. Because we'll come to the altar and surrender our lives to Jesus and then walk out that door and take charge of our lives as soon as we get outside.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
07215P.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Exciting news! Bethel has gone prime time. Bethel's broadcast schedule now includes WTVE Channel 51 Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Our regular broadcast will continue on WPPH Channel 50s on Sunday evenings at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. Tune in to get a word from the Lord. Praise.